When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lovers, before we get into the big Dear Damona episode today, I just wanted to remind you that our very special, only once a year, Dates and Mates Method live program is enrolling now. It actually starts on September 27th, and it is your opportunity. If you've been thinking about doing something differently in your dating life and breaking through those boundaries that are keeping you single and keeping you feeling stuck in love, then let me walk you through step by step. Let me work with you, not just here where I can address the questions that you write in, but actually live face to face where we can address your specific dating challenges and we can dialogue about them and help you create a plan that's going to work for you to find your person. I've been doing coaching for over 15 years. It's actually coming up on 17 now. And I've taken everything over the hundreds of clients that I've worked with. I've taken everything that I've learned and distilled it down into a very easy to follow, very effective 3-month program. But I only get cohorts together once or twice a year. So if you've been thinking about coaching and you've been thinking that I'm the person that you want to break through those barriers with, this is your moment. Don't wait. It starts September 27th, and you can sign up and hold your spot in this intimate small group program if you go to damonahoffman.com/program. But I'm doing something special this year. For those of you who aren't quite sure that this is the right time or the right program or that need to see proof, that need to see the transformation happening, I am allowing a select number of people to attend the first class for free. So if you are interested in seeing what it's like before you reserve your spot, go to damonahoffman.com/free class. Again, we have a limited number of free spots available. So if you know the program is right for you, go ahead and sign up. But if you're considering it and you want to see what that experience is like, I would love to have you grab one of the spots in this free intro class. Check for the links in the show notes.
Does this mean it's over?
Does this mean he likes me?
Are butterflies good?
Am I ever gonna meet someone?
I'm tired of swiping.
Am I normal?
Sometimes our comfort zone is not comfortable, but it's what we know.
You can keep waiting for the fairy tale, or you can get on board with the new rules of relationships. If you've watched me on NBC's Access Daily, then you know this ain't your mama's love advice. This is Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman. Alrighty, lovers, welcome to the second Dear Damona episode of Dates and Mates Season 11. The word of the week is action. I talked about this a few times during the F the Fairy Tale Challenge, but we do a lot of mindset work on the show and talking about the problem that dating has become today. But I believe that we only see a shift when we take action. When you can put into your body what you hear, what you learn, and see how a different action yields a different result, that is when transformation occurs. So think about action as we get into action on today's episode. I received so many questions in our last Dear Damona episode, and I wasn't able to choose all of them. And then we've gotten so many more questions since then that I really wanted to dedicate today to answering more of your questions. And I've also got something special for you before today's love lesson. I will be joined by my client, Sue. She and I will talk about how she learned to love again after losing her husband in 2021 and why you should never give up on love. I cannot wait for you to hear her inspiring story. All right, it's back to school time. So take out your notebooks, put your thinking caps on, and let's get ready to answer some questions about dating.
Help me.
Our first question comes to us in a voicemail.
Hi, Damona. My name is Faith. I know you speak a lot on visualization as like a part of the dating journey for clarity. And I was wondering if you have any suggestions for the small population of us that deal with aphantasia. So aphantasia is like when your mind eye is essentially blind. So if somebody says, picture yourself on the beach, I just see darkness. I can't even see myself like in my head. There's just darkness all the time. So what do you have any suggestions that maybe you could talk about on your podcast about how those of us with aphantasia could get clarity maybe without visualization or with another tool? So thank you for your time, and I hope to hear from you soon or hear your answer on the podcast.
So, you know, I am big on visualization and mindset when you begin dating. But what I really like to do is to create different methods for getting to that same result of having clarity of mindset, having clarity on who you are looking to meet, and having clarity on what you bring to the table, what your thoughts are about dating, and how you can manifest that in your life. And you can do it even if you cannot visualize. So here we have talked about visualization and doing like guided meditations for visualization. But in my program, I also give people other methods to create that same sort of outcome, like vision boarding. So even if you cannot generate the image in your mind, maybe you can recognize the image if you are flipping through a magazine, or you are pulling words from a scrapbook kit, or you are even designing a vision board through an app or website. Would it connect for you, Faith, if you were flipping through and instead of trying to generate an image, you were focused on which images stand out to me? Which words resonate with me? Which words give me an emotional response? And write that down. And maybe you are somebody who deals more in the world of words instead of in the world of pictures. And if you are, there are also generators for word clouds. You can create a word cloud, which would be a visual representation of that relationship that you're looking for. And you can start by just putting in words that maybe you found through going through the vision boarding process, or maybe just off of a list that you have written for yourself. And that gives you something that you can see, that you can look at as a reminder of what the goal is for you in dating. And that's really the purpose. Like, I like to bring all of these exercises that I do back to why are we even doing them? We visualize not just because it's fun, because, you know, for some people it is, but for some people, for you, that might sound dreadful. That doesn't sound like fun at all if you can't generate those pictures. But what we do it for is to have a reminder of our dating goals so that our actions, there's our buzzword of the week. Our actions then will align with the goal that we've set for ourselves. And when our actions are in alignment with our goals and we are rewiring our neural pathways to align with that goal through the words that we use, the pictures that we see, the actions that we take, that is when we get a different outcome. And that is when our life begins to shift. So I'm going to broaden this out for anyone listening that's like, I heard something on the show that sounded cool, but then when I tried to do it, I couldn't do it or it didn't work for me. I would say the best course of action there is to try a different way in or to try a different exercise that has the same goal or the same outcome in mind. It's going to look different for all of us. It's going to feel different for all of us, but the purpose is to clarify that end goal, that relationship that you dream of, what it looks like for you specifically. And I'm confident that if you try a different way in, Faith, that I know you will get there. Our next voicemail comes to us from a listener named C.
Hey, Damona. Loving the new format of the podcast, by the way. So my dating dilemma is about effectively the difference between people who like to plan out their social engagements versus people who like to be spontaneous. It's happened to me a couple of times where there's a guy who I'm really interested in. We maybe have been on like a date or two. But then what basically happens is he's just like rubbish at, you know, confirming the next date. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so confirming like a day, a time, a place, because oftentimes what has happened is like I've done that for like the first date or two. And so like for me, generally, if I haven't heard from someone like 2 days ahead of the time where they're like, oh, let's meet up on Saturday, but then nothing else has been confirmed, then to be honest, they effectively get dropped off the priority list. So my dilemma is twofold. So one is that I'm thinking like, okay, am I potentially dismissing great guys because of this? And if that's the case, like, because it's really early stages, do you actually say to the person, like, effectively, you need to put a time, date, and place in, you know, state that in advance, otherwise, you know, it's not really going to work? Or is this just, frankly, a symptom of dating in your 30s, where you just kind of filter through what's not in alignment much more quickly, and then therefore, I guess you just, yeah, you just move on to the ones, I guess, who are planners. I don't know. Anyway, would love your advice on this. And thanks as always for everything.
Okay, see, here's what we ain't not gonna do. We are not going to compromise our standards for anyone, especially for dates who are essentially strangers who haven't earned our time yet. Now, I love that you have all of these dating options. I can tell you've been listening to Dates and Mates for a long time. So what I'm going to tell you as a person with who feels that they have a lot of dating options in their 30s and has a lot of people who are flaking or not confirming or not being consistent when there are many other people to fill in the gap, and that maybe giving our time to this person may mean not spending time with somebody else, I'm going to offer you advice on that. And I'm going to let the people who feel like they don't have enough dating options but are still having some of this flakiness and lack of commitment know that what I'm going to tell you is not specific to them. And I will address that in just a second. And now for you, C, you are getting caught in what I call the screening loop. This is the third of our five dating loops. And in that third loop, it's a process of screening somebody to pre-qualify them for a date. And so when you ask, is this a symptom of dating in your 30s, where you just kind of filter through what's not in alignment much more quickly, and then you move on from the ones who are not planners? Yes and no. Yes, this is the process of dating. Whether you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, the process is filtering through. Like, what I really want to do on this show and in my programs is to teach people how to filter more effectively. This is what I teach. How to fine-tune your dating process so that it's less stressful, it's less frustrating, it feels less like work, and it just feels like you have the playbook and you're running the play. And there are certain things that are indicators of how someone will behave in the future and how someone will show up for you in their life. And then there are other things that maybe you can give a pass to. And so the second part of that is, do you need to eliminate everyone who's not a planner? That's where I'm feeling a no, see? That's where I feel like the planning is you. That is your MO. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's how they naturally show up. And it doesn't mean that it absolutely won't work if they are not a planner and you are. What I want you to be filtering for is for people respecting your time. And for people respecting how you feel most comfortable operating. And it may require you going a little bit out of your comfort zone, and it may require them going a little more out of their comfort zone to meet you halfway. Now, for everyone, there is a general apathy around dating that I'm seeing everywhere. And I still think this is an offshoot of the pandemic where people are still a little bit fatigued. And if we think of just a couple of years ago, the effort you had to go through to meet someone, like, we got to take a test and we have to check and, like, what's your vax status? And that was not that long ago that we were doing all of that stuff, and how much effort it took just to clear the first bar. And I think that is what is causing a lot of people to just feel like, I don't even care. I'm seeing a lot more last minute canceling of plans, a lot more ghosting, a lot more last minute making of plans. And I don't like it because I'm a planner too, but I have had to also separate what is a tolerable level of uncertainty And what is a sign of disrespect? And what is a sign of how someone will operate in the future? And you know, we've talked about this on the show before, the best predictor of how someone will be in the future or how someone will act in a relationship is how they have acted in relationships in the past and how they're acting with you right now. So we all want enthusiasm. We all want somebody that's going to say, I can't wait to meet you. And let's figure out something fun to do together. But I got to tell you, a lot of people you're meeting are not listening to this podcast right now. So some of that enthusiasm may need to come from you. But the question is, what are you met with? Are you met with that same kind of enthusiasm? Or are you met with constantly feeling like you're dragging them from one date to the next? And if you feel the latter, then we may have to back up your screening to having a pre-qualifier before people can even get to the first date. You know, it's like you don't get to just meet with the CEO of the company when you first apply for the job, right? You got to go through HR. You got to jump through some hoops before you get on the CEO's calendar. You know what I'm saying? You are the CEO. So how can you set up more of, and it's not a test. It's just more checks and balances to make sure that somebody is qualified for your time. And that's where then we back up again to the first loop. So we started at the number three, the screening loop. We went to number two, the sourcing loop and how you're finding these people. I assume you're meeting them online. Sounds like, you know, a lot of times with strangers, there's no accountability for when they show up for dates with you. And then we back up again to the first dating loop of mindset, of having absolute clarity on how do you want to feel in that relationship, see? How do you want, is it about planning? Is that really what it's about? Or is it about not feeling like you are convincing someone to be in a relationship with you? Is it about not feeling like you are putting in all the effort and you're not being met halfway? And I'm going to guess, it's just a guess, that maybe those themes have come up before in your dating life. And this is why we have to dial in this dating process right now, because who you were yesterday, who you were before you were listening to this podcast, who you were in your last relationship, that person is not the same person who's sitting here listening to this podcast right now. And through action and through these new choices that you make about who you give your time to, that is what creates that transformation and allows you to write your own love story, allows you to write the rules of your dating life, allows you to articulate to the person, you know, I'm kind of a planner. It's really important to me that if we make a plan, I know what we're doing. And I guarantee you, if you articulate that and you own it, like not as an expectation of, well, if they're not a planner, just forget it. But if you own it as, this is what I need to feel happy, safe, taken care of, excited about dating you. And now the ball is in your court, sir. What are you going to do with that information? That is where you will see who are the men, who are the boys, who aligns with your relationship goal, and who you can actually meet in the middle and build a relationship with. And very quickly, for those of you who do not feel like you have enough dating options, I actually got a similar question from a prior client about this a couple weeks ago, where he was saying that he feels like his dates are canceling last minute all of the time, but he doesn't have as many date requests as he would like. So he feels like, well, should I just take this and tolerate this? And to you, I say, you should not accept anyone who is mistreating you, making you feel less than, and abusing your time that you have gifted to them. And for you, I would want to work on sourcing and getting more dating options on the table for you. But then also, I would want to work on sourcing and getting more qualified dating options in the mix for you, because then you may be fishing in the wrong pond. And there is a pond for everyone, right? And maybe you're not lining up 2, 3, 4 dates a week like some of my clients. Maybe that sounds exhausting to you, but maybe for you, it's enough to have one person that is really right for you, that commits to showing up, does what they say, and really makes the time and the effort to connect with you. So this is what I do. I'm like a dating orchestra composer. And there's these 5 dating loops. There's these 5 dials that we need to turn up or turn down. So depending on whether you need more dates, depending on whether you need more qualified people, depending on whether you need help getting from the first date to the second date to the third date, there's a specific process for each of those points in the dating journey. And I just want to emphasize that whatever the challenges that you're dealing with, it is fixable. It is, as Marie Forleo says, it is figure outable. And it's just about really taking the time to observe what's happening in your dating life and then making a plan for how you're going to move forward. Okay, before we move on to our next question and before we hear from my client, Sue, we're going to take a quick break. I know it's not always what you came for, but it is the reason that we can offer you Dates and Mates content for free. So please just take a moment to listen to our sponsors, support them if you hear something you like, and stick with me because I have more Dear Damona for you in just a moment.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thank you, lovers, for supporting our sponsors. Now on to our next question from a listener named Kay.
Hi, Damona. I'm over 50, never married, no children, and sometimes think that that's a red flag for men. I'm also enjoying a middle-aged body that seems comfortable with my apparently futile efforts to change it. I don't want to release my hope of finding a long-term lifetime partner, but I'm barely hanging on to that hope. At what point should a person just accept it's probably not going to happen? I know you can't answer that for someone else, but thought I would just put my desire out there, along with my not quite waned hope.
Here's the question for you, Kay. How would that feel for you if you were just sitting with that feeling of accepting it's probably not going to happen? How did that feel when I just said that to you? It's probably not going to happen, Kay. I'm going to guess it didn't feel great, that it didn't feel comfortable. And it's not actually what you want because you wrote into the show. So it must be important to you to find a partner. And I'm sending you so much love because I hear throughout your entire question, I hear all of the societal programming that inspired me to write F the Fairy Tale that I want to help us crush because it is not serving us anymore. Being over 50 is okay and lovable. Having no children is okay and lovable. Having a middle-aged body is not only okay and lovable, it is freaking fantastic. And I want you to really celebrate and love that because I know, you know, you write enjoying in quotes, but I feel in acknowledging that there's a part of you that's buying into this myth that who's going to love somebody who is over 50, who's never married, who doesn't have kids, and who is not a size two. And it's just total crap. I'm just not buying the narrative anymore. And that's why I am actively putting a new narrative out on bookshelves, because it's just not been true for so many of my clients over the years. I've worked with plenty of people who are over 50, who are never married, who have no children, and I have made it happen for them. So I cannot tell you whether you should accept that it's not going to happen for you. I can only tell you, if something rose up inside of you when I said that, those words, that you can't give up. You can't just say, well, maybe that's not my path, or maybe that's not meant for me, or maybe that's not timing, or maybe it's my body, or maybe it's my age, or maybe it's the fact that I don't have children. And you can step back and say, okay, this is where I'm at right now. How do I get from where I am to where I want to be? And usually that does require a plan. So I've talked a lot today about action, and I've talked about the 5 dating loops. But the first one for you is really that rewriting that mindset and placing the stuff that is not yours somewhere else. All of those beliefs about what is dateable, what is attractive, let's just say those are not yours. You've been holding on to them for a little while because they get repeated to you. But the more they get repeated, the more that you believe them. And can I just take that off your hands? Because you've been carrying it way too long and it's not yours. It's somebody else's. And it is getting in the way of you moving into the life that you want. So now I've taken that off your hands. And now I'm asking you, what do you want? And then I'm asking you, what is your plan? Because this is the thing that I do see block my clients who are over 50, over 40 sometimes, over 60, over 70. And you're going to hear from Sue in just a minute, who's found love at 70. What I see happen is, as we get older, our lives become more set. And so I do see sometimes resistance that's coming from my clients in changing their routines, in changing their mindset, in changing their routines, in inviting new people in meeting somebody halfway. I see a little less flexibility. And that's okay, because that's what you've learned. But we just have to ask, if we're inviting somebody into your life and your circle, how big can you make the circle, right? Like, I was just, I was at Temple last week, and I was sitting in the kids service with my daughter and son, and we were in a tight little circle. And then like 5 more kids came, and we looked around and there weren't enough chairs. And the rabbi said, we got to expand the circle. We had to change the chairs we were sitting in. We had to add more chairs. We had to open up the circle. So I know your dating life is not like a Rosh Hashanah service, but do you see what I'm saying? We have to open up the circle to bring somebody else into it. And it might be a little uncomfortable at first. You know, sometimes we don't like sitting on the floor. We were like, I was in the chair. I got here early. I've been sitting in this chair this whole time. But it's that what if that I keep coming back to. What if just opening the circle that little bit? What if changing your routines? What if going on a different dating app? What if saying yes to an event that you otherwise would say no to? What if that is where your person is? And just because of your past experiences, you close the circle. And you didn't have to. And you don't have to right now. So that is my message for you. I hope it was inspiring, because my mission is always to help. My mission is always to help you realize that the life you want is right on the other side of one action, one thought, one belief system. And it's so, sometimes the shifts are so subtle but the outcomes are so big. So I want that for you, Kay. And I want that for everyone listening. On our show, I spend a lot of time addressing dating challenges. And while I love hearing where you're at and knowing what is frustrating you about dating today, I really have a mission to bring hope and healing to as many people as possible. So I thought I would end the show with some uplifting news. I had a call just last week with my client, Sue. She completed my group program just back in March of this year, and she reached out with an update on her dating situation. And what she told me was so powerful, I asked her if she would feel comfortable sharing it here. So as someone who started out as a Dates and Mates listener and then became a client and now at 70 years old is embarking on a whole new relationship and life that she wasn't sure was possible after losing her husband just 2 years ago, I think what she has to say will resonate with many of you at all ages. So take a listen. Here's me and Sue. First of all, how did you find out about the work that I do in the programs?
I'm not exactly sure how I stumbled upon the Dates and Mates podcast. And it was like, this person has a beautiful voice and a really good presence. And her guests are really smart and savvy. And the questions are spot on. I need to pay attention. So I started listening regularly to the Dates and Mates podcast.
Wow, wonderful. Okay. Endorsement for the Dates and Mates podcast there. But I'm really interested in hearing your story and your journey, Sue. Tell me, before you did the program with me, talk to me about the place that you were in your life and what your thoughts were about finding a relationship.
So this will go back to 2021. I became a widow. I had been married for 44 years. After he passed away, I worked through a grieving counselor, grief counselor, and there was a lot of work to do because that is a huge loss after that much time. And then about a year ago in the summertime, I thought, you know, I really, really would like to have some companionship of some sort. And I had no idea how to go about finding anyone, dating anyone, going out because I'd gotten into the routine of being married, coming home, having dinner, hanging out, watching a show together, getting together with other couples. Being single was brand new to me.
One thing that really stood out to me about you throughout the course of the program, even though we were in a group setting, it was very clear to me, Sue, that you were really invested in learning and implementing the things that we were teaching and really, really breaking through some of the barriers that keep a lot of folks feeling stuck and feeling in that place of overwhelm or helplessness or, you know, frustration.
It was very helpful, the very first lesson, to talk about mindset, because I had a lot of negative speak in my head. I was too old. Nobody would want me. I'm not worthy. And there's just nobody in my small community that I could find that would be a match for me. Everybody's coupled up or they're just not interested in finding another person. So I didn't feel like there was a possibility of someone being out there for me. And so that was one of the first barriers. It was really, really helpful looking at the profile and having a chance to say, this is about you. You need to be proactive, get a professional photographer, be the best person that you can be, present yourself in a way that, because people are looking with such short time period, will at least attract people to you and be genuine in who you are. Present your character in your words and in your description. Many of the different things helped me. But I think when you said you need to be open, that is something that a lot of us really have a trouble doing, like imagining stepping forward. Sometimes our comfort zone is not comfortable, but it's what we know.
You know, I talk about the dating loops and everybody has a different place where they tend to get stuck.
I found someone in my community through a dating app and we are very well suited to each other. We know how to communicate with each other.
So what would you say, Sue, to anyone who's listening, who's like, okay, I like what Damona says on Dates and Mates. I'm thinking about doing a program with her, but I don't know if this could help me. What would you say to that person to help them make the decision about, you know, what the next step is in their dating journey?
Well, I can say that no one trained us how to go out and be a good person on a date, how to decide who you want to date, how to find people in the first place, how to decide who you want to go on a date with, what would be a strategic way to do that first date, and what to do in the follow-up. Would you text back and forth for 30 days and then never meet someone? That's a mistake that could easily happen. So I figured, you know what? I need to be educated. I need to learn how to date. And as crazy and silly as that sounded, I shared it with my friends. I said, I am taking a class. I'm going to learn the best way that I could be dating and the best way that I can be more successful in those kinds of things. So the class was extremely helpful to me. And I really appreciated the advice and a lot of wisdom, a lot of years, a lot of learning, and a lot of encouragement. And sometimes crossing those difficult things was part of it too.
Y'all, Sue didn't miss one. She did not miss one session. She was there taking notes every single week. I know. And really participating and contributing. Like, I like to also think of the programs as a community. So yes, it's my years of experience and knowledge and wisdom that I'm sharing, and Coach Yogi Marquise as well. But it's also that I'm building a support system, and you're going through the journey with other people who may be in different dating loops or different stops along the way, but that they are there to say, I understand. I'm doing this too. And we're learning and watching each other go through this, and I'm learning from you too. So I've learned a lot from you and just talking to you today, Sue. And I hope other people listening also can take some knowledge into their dating journey as well.
The community really has been helpful because, you know, you're not alone out there. A lot of other people are looking and they're encouraging you all along the way, which is wonderful. Thank you, Damona.
A big thanks to Sue for sharing her journey and love with me and now with all of you. And if you are ready for a transformation like Sue's, please come join me. I only do my live program once or twice a year. So if you want to take part in the Dates and Mates method, this is my new and improved 3-month small group coaching program, then let's go. Let's begin this journey. Let's not wait until next year or the next decade or the next milestone to pass you by. Let's go ahead and make a dating plan that's going to be tailored specifically for you. You can sign up now at damonahoffman.com/program, or for a select number of people, we are opening up free spots for you to try out the first class for free. You can see if spots are still available at damonahoffman.com/free class. Either way, I really hope to see you on Wednesday, September 27th. And I thank you so much for listening to this episode. I will end today, as I always do, with your love lesson of the week. The love lesson is, it's time to get comfortable with change. There's a quote that I love: discomfort is the feeling of change happening. And so many times it's easier just not to. It's easier not to lean in. It's easier not to speak up. It's easier not to do something differently and take that action that we've been talking about all episode. But what worthwhile thing in life ever came to you easily? Don't be afraid to lean into that discomfort and to lean into that feeling of change happening, because when you're on the other side, it will feel so much sweeter that you walked through the fire, that you confronted your fear, that you pushed through the pain and the discomfort and the awkwardness and the shift that you needed to go through to be able to live your dream life. Well, ring-a-ding-ding, it's episode 475 of Dates and Mates. Ah, milestone moment for us here. I so appreciate you listening, and I hope you will reach out to me at Damona Hoffman on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram with your dating questions. And you can leave me a voicemail like so many of our listeners did today at 424-246-6255, or you can send me a text or a DM with any question about your dating life, or even about the Dates and Mates Method program. We will be back again next Tuesday with matchmaker and dating coach Rachel Russo, who will talk about how we can all overcome stereotypes in dating. Until then, I wish you happy dating.